So as we get started today, I'm going to need a little participation from you. I'm going to need you to raise your hands up, if you would. This is going to be an interactive piece, and if you're new to this, I get it. It's kind of weird, but it's okay. I won't make you do anything dumb. All right, so I'm just going to have you kind of do this. It's a little bit like the wave, you know, but it's going to be a part of what we're getting into here. So thank you. You're good. Good job. Way to go. Give each other a hand. So welcome if you're online with us today. Have you ever been part of something that has really taken off? Been part of like a team maybe, or a business, or a ministry? Something that started to work just great for you? You were thriving and achieving everything you set out to do, like amazingly. And then all of a sudden it just ran out of steam. For whatever reason, things just changed and it died out and it all just seemed to fizzle. It's ever happened to you? Maybe you were left trying to decide, what am I going to do? Should I reinvest? Should I rekindle what's left? Or do I walk away? Important questions. In the years after college, I teamed up with my family and a friend, and we formed a marketing company called Midwest Cable Marketing, and it took off. Vastly more successful than we ever thought possible. You can probably tell by the name. And we were having fun. We were making money. Things were going really good. We were hiring people, you know, just kind of beyond anything we expected. And then some industry changes created some challenges, and then some very misguided direction, some guidance that pushed our business to the, you know, the turning point. And so at that point, I had to decide, do I reinvest? Do I give it a restart? Or do I walk away? I knew what it took to get to where we had been. And I thought, honestly, I thought there has to be something more promising to reinvest my energy in than back into something that is already failing. So at the time, it seemed easier to start over than to rekindle what was already there. So I walked away. What I hadn't fully realized yet is that life is full of setbacks. Some years later, another opportunity came along for Cheryl and I, and we began a partnership with a successful entrepreneur, and we were ready to expand a growing business. Cheryl and I worked hard. We jumped in. We saw, again, this early success that was really taking off, and we became part of this expansion team, and almost as quickly as we experienced the success, you can guess what happened. It went the other direction. And we realized again that, you know, it was going to take a concerted effort, a required reinvestment of the same kind of energy that we had put in already, just in order to get back to where we had been. So we faced another decision. Do we reinvest? Do we work hard and rekindle what's there? Or do we walk away? See, I was coming to realize that life is full of setbacks. And I'm not trying to sound like a big downer, but it's true, isn't it? If you're 9 or 99, you realize that life has its setbacks. We face them. Some we can overcome. Some seem to just have their way with us. So maybe you're facing one of those today. Maybe a setback of some sort. You're wondering, do I reinvest? Do I reengage? Or do I give up? Do I walk away? Pastor Greg, you've been recognizing, I actually didn't talk to you about this. I'm going to use you as an example. Is that all right? All right, he gave me the thumbs up. He's not kind of on the spot here, isn't he? So Pastor Greg, you've been recognizing that there's a disadvantage to this front-end investment of youth ministry, you know, senior high ministry. You see more and more kids, you recruit more and more kids each year, and the more kids you recruit, the more kids you graduate out of your youth group in 4 years. You know, it seems kind of like a contradiction. More students are great, right? But it also means that you're restarting over and over and over again and having to reinvest. So hang in there, Pastor Greg. Life is full of setbacks. More often than we want to admit, it seems, when things really start to get blazing, you know, when they're exciting, when they're fun, when they're rewarding, we're getting the results that we had hoped for, we desired, we find ourselves having then to reinvest. We find ourselves having to go back again and do the hard work all over, and we wonder, is it really worth it? Have you ever been there? So it could be a relationship that you're invested in, and then you find it's not going so well, and you know. In order to rekindle that, you're going to have to do some hard work, some rebuilding. What will you do? It could be that you're a student. You've worked hard to get on the starting lineup of the team, and then all of a sudden you find out that, you know, you didn't make the cut. So what do? Are you going to reinvest and go back and work hard and give it another shot, or do you call it quits and go on to something else? Maybe you're a kid or a mom or a dad who has been dealing with a difficult home life and you've been struggling. You're trying to keep things going the best you can, and you don't know if you're going to blow up or your family's going to blow up, and you know that a lot of it's beyond your control. What do you do? Do you keep hoping? Do you keep looking for something better? What will you do? Wherever you are in life, whether it seems like you're crushing it or struggling to get by, life throws us into circumstances often beyond our control. Progress stops, forward momentum is curtailed, and life is full of setbacks. So if you've been following us here at Bethlehem Church, or you know, even another church that you're a part of, you realize that in this past year, the life of the church has been altered. Ministry momentum has been changed, probably more so than we've ever seen in a generation. And when we started this year, 2020, a time of growth and expansion, all of that has turned and shifted and left us all a bit dazed and wondering, honestly, what is the future going to hold? I mean, it's hard to tell. So will we be able to regain that kind of momentum that we've experienced prior to the last year? Or will ministry be forever altered? And then the big question is this. So what kind of effort are we going to have to reinvest and put back into the mission to re-engage? Or do we just accept that the fire's dying out and the passion is gone? Now, I have great hope for the church. I'm not suggesting the fire's gone or the passion's burned out. I know that we live in a resurrection life. So there's always great hope. But those questions are real, aren't they? And I think they're worth exploring. They're worth engaging because we ask them right here. So if we're facing a personal setback today, or you're part of the challenges that we face in this mission together of making followers, then I'm invite us to look at some scripture today, some insights that are going to guide us through the setbacks. And my hope is that it'll rekindle your passion, the calling that God has given you. So we're giving somebody a little help over here. So they've got him, so that's good. All right, we'll continue. You okay back there? All right. So we're looking for some passion that's going to be able to reignite the movement towards the very great and precious promises that God has given us. So if you have a mission, you do have a mission. You have a calling. And it's being demonstrated right there, you know, loving one another in time of need. It all starts by fanning the spark. So here's where your part comes in. Remember the exercise you did? You know, have you ever been at a campfire and it's going out? You know, there's just coals left and there's a few hot embers in there and you want to get it going again. What do you got to do? Well, you got to throw a little kindling on there, but sometimes that's not enough. You have to do what? You have to fan it, right? So put up your arms, put up your hands, all right? You have to fan that spark into flame, all right? That's what we need to do. That's where we're going today. We're going to fan that spark into flame. Good job. I can feel it already. Woo. So where's your spark? Where's your spark? That's where we're going to start. Turn to the person beside you and ask them, where is your spark? Go ahead and ask them. Where's your spark? I probably would like to hear the answers to this. So where is that fire? Where is that fire deep in your heart? Because in order to relight something, to make it flare up again, we need to start with the spark. So where's the fire already burning? So we're going to the second letter of Peter in the Bible, the first chapter. And as I read this passage, I'm going to read it through. And I'm going to invite you to listen, to consider the words of the Apostle Peter, especially when he says, God has given us everything we need. You're going to hear that. God has given us everything we need. That's quite a statement. So we're going to come back around then to the spark and figure out where we can begin this journey of reigniting the passion to keep going in spite of life setbacks. So from the passage, 2 Peter for chapter 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So join me in prayer. Lord, give us insight and understanding into your living word today, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So in that passage, I invited you to pay attention to this one verse that says, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So this is really about perspective. Peter has seen things in his life that have completely altered his perspective. You see, in the past 2 weeks, we've been journeying through this death and resurrection of Jesus. And when you think about Peter in the midst of this, when Jesus was brought to trial before the Jewish council, excuse me, on what we call now as Good Friday, Peter denied knowing Jesus. He was near when Jesus was falsely accused. He was close by when Jesus was beaten and flogged, and Peter trembled in hiding as Jesus hung on the cross. He was near when Jesus was laid in the tomb and lifeless and dead. For 3 days, between Good Friday and Easter morning, Peter knew all about setbacks. Thank you. He knew about insurmountable challenges to the mission that he thought he had given his life to. So for Peter, it's all about perspective. Because then he experienced an empty tomb. He experienced that the grave was empty. Christ was raised from the dead. That he met him in person and everything was changed. Peter witnessed the risen, alive Jesus. And though Peter seemed to understand setbacks, he seemed to think that this had been an impossible setback. He now realized that with God, all things are possible. An amazing thing has happened. What seems like a setback to us is no problem to God, even a death, even a sealed tomb. So Peter can say, God has given us everything that we need for godly life. Somebody say everything. Everything we need. So what does he refer to as a godly life? What's he talking about? So the life God has prepared for you and I. A life of calling. A life of passion. A life of desire. A life of purpose. God has prepared for you a life of meaning and fulfillment. A life where your desires and dreams actually do line up with God's desires, God's purpose in Christ. That's the kind of life he's talking about. It's all about perspective. What is your perspective? How do you see it? You know, by the time that Cheryl and I had re-engaged and reinvested in the opportunity to rebuild this business again, we had come to realize something about what we were working toward. The business was no longer our passion. The business was now our provision. I think that's an important distinction. It was no longer our passion. It had become our provision. And there's a huge difference. So what are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? Are you trying to reignite God's provision? Or are you pursuing God's passion? God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Peter's describing a life of passion. We have everything we need for a life of passion, not necessarily for a life of provision. You see, provision sustains us, but passion drives us. Provision sustains us, but it's the passion that drives us. Now, I believe, even if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, that God has placed a passion in your heart for the things that will actually lead you to God, that will begin to point to the things that you're created and made for. You might feel like it's something bigger than yourself. And for followers, definitely, God has placed in your heart a desire, a purpose, a calling. You have this sense that you're made for this. You just know it. And it's this godly passion that drives you to rekindle, to reinvest when we face life's obstacles. So it can get confusing, really, when we realize that not of all of our good desires are callings. Sometimes they're just provisions. Now, I've come to understand, I think, that the calling may be developed by a provision. It may be fueled by a provision. You might be training for your calling through a provision. But if it's not your purpose, if it's not your passion, if it's not your true calling, then here's what usually happens. When you face setbacks, you realize that the drive isn't there. You don't have that emphasis to reinvest. You're not willing to re-engage and reinitiate. It's just not there. You might try. You might give it a half-hearted effort, but there's no energy. There's no vision to overcome and to see what God has on the other side. There's not enough there to fan the flame. So where is your spark? Where's your spark? I think Peter points it out in the same verse. And for 2 Peter 1, he says, by Christ's divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Somebody say, know him. Know him. Peter's describing an ever-deepening faith. Peter says, you share the same precious faith we have. See, the spark is faith. It's faith. As your faith grows, your sense of calling grows. It becomes more clear. As your sense of calling becomes more clear, your passion for it is ignited. Faith is the spark that begins to fan the flame. So we're invited today to fan that spark of faith, to rekindle the passion for your calling. So in another message, we're going to talk more about this faith maturing, and Peter talks about 8 virtues that become part of this work of the Spirit in our lives as we take that next step of fanning the flame. But right now, I want to take us back to our setbacks. We all face them. Maybe you're facing personal challenges right now. You know, together, we're certainly facing our share in the church, not only here in this church, but churches all over. You know, the church is at a crossroads. I believe the coming challenges for the mission and ministry that we are facing are going to require a committed reinvestment, an intentional re-engagement, and in several ways, a reworking and a reimagining of how we pursue our mission of making followers who make followers of Jesus. It's going to require a renewed passion. And where is that going to come? It's going to take bold steps of faith, once again, steps of obedience to face our setbacks. And the source of that renewed courage, the source of that energy to overcome these obstacles that are beyond our control is found by faith in Jesus. Faith rooted in the resurrection power. It's what Peter discovered as the great and precious promises. He writes, and because of his glory and excellence, Christ's, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort, right? Re-engage, reignite, pursue that passion. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Fan that spark of faith into flame, confident that what we see as obstacles are no problem for God. He is the author of the resurrection life. So we have all faced seasons of setbacks, some personal, some in our community. Certainly, if you identify with the church, we know the challenges we face. Some things seem to be returning back to life as normal. That's wonderful. It's experience. You know, hopefully you had some coffee today. Other things are just flickering a little bit. Some things are smoldering, barely going, on the verge of burning out. How do we respond? Where do we start? We go back to the beginning. We remember our calling, why we began, what we're pursuing. The writer of Revelation quotes his vision of Jesus, who says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Jesus speaking, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Jesus says, remember the spark. Remember why you began following me. Remember the overwhelming love that you experienced when you first believed. Recall that desire to surrender your life for Jesus and his purpose. Just like he surrendered his for you. Remember God's love that's poured into your heart, which overwhelmed and overflowed to those around you. Remember the spark and then reinitiate. Take initiative, reinitiate, and do the things you did at first. Reinvest your life for Christ's sake. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. They're good. Renew the vision. Not based on setbacks, but based on who God has called you to be in the resurrection power. For the church today, I believe God is placing a piece of that renewed vision before us in the form of the Safe Families mission, that God has called us not only to strengthen and encourage families and children in our church, but in our communities as well, to be the church, as we have heard, to the community around us. You know, in our walk with Jesus, we need to be re-engaging and begin to take that initiative to rekindle our first love, our passion, making followers who make followers of Jesus with every opportunity that God has given us. In our walk, we want to recognize that we are in this mission for the long haul. Like the Apostle Paul, he says he's in it for the long race, to win the prize to which God has called us heavenward. We're moving beyond the setbacks and getting ready to reinvest our lives for Christ's sake. We understand that we don't always have control of the outcomes, right? You don't, but we have control of the next step. We have control of reigniting the passion. We're moving beyond those setbacks, and we're committed to taking those steps one at a time. John Maxwell, he describes what it takes to re-engage and reinvest for fruitful outcomes, saying this, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. This isn't a time to step back or to give up. This is a time to reinvest and re-engage with all our might. We're committed to doing the things that matter the most. Jesus has shown what matters the most, seeking his kingdom, God first, and then all the other things fall into place. And how do we seek the kingdom? By loving God and loving others. And to that end, we are to give everything, including our lives away. Andy Addison, he's a multi-church pastor, and he suggests an attitude like this, one where we're willing to risk it all. You ever been there? Risk it all. One where you're willing to go broke for the cause. One where you're willing to be in a position of desperation because you know beyond a doubt this is your calling. Willing to give everything away. The principle is losing our lives to gain life that is truly life. Life is full of setbacks. British theologian Leslie Newbington, he says, I am neither an optimist nor a pessimist. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We're going to close with this idea. Doris Warholm passed away, and we just had her funeral yesterday. A celebration of life and looking towards the resurrection. And I had the opportunity to go through Doris's Bible. Wow, what a treasure that was. She was a person who wrote in the margins, filled her margins with all kinds of stuff. And I came across this study that she must have done. She had written, Ted Danielson preached it. I'm not sure who that is. But she had three words that really caught my attention. She wrote, united, ignited, excited. Isn't that amazing? United, ignited, excited. Doris Warholm is 96 years old, and in her 80s, she sponsored a child for baptism, and that youth that now gave a wonderful testimony in the church yesterday about Doris and her passion. So talk about rekindling at 80-some years old. Talk about reigniting that fire. We're not too old. We're not too young. We're ready to go. So Paul says in Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do. There's work to be done. Fan the flame. Put up your hands. Fan the flame. Fan the spark. Let it go. And rekindle the mission. Let's pray. Lord God, we are here today to recognize that you are calling us to step out again in faith. And Lord, for each of us who are facing setbacks today, that we would be courageous to step back to our first love. And Lord, allow us to be refilled with your Spirit, rekindle your fire within us, that we may fan that spark back into flame. Whatever it is, Lord, we know the first step that we can take. Give us the courage to take it. Help us to reinitiate. If that's you today, just say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And we can be confident he'll answer that prayer. And for those of you who may be here today and you like what you're hearing, but you just know that there is no spark inside of you, that there's nothing to fan into flame, that you've never known that love and grace and forgiveness of God, that passion and desire for God's purposes. It's just not there. Well, there's a reason for that. It is because it comes by faith. It comes by a confident step of trusting in Jesus and what he has done. It comes in that moment of saying, Jesus, I believe. And if you're ready for that today, if you want to know the passion and desire for the things that God has passion and desire for you, then I invite you to trust in him today, to call on his name. The Bible says all who call on his name will be saved. And so this is the moment. This is the step. Simply invite him into your heart with a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I want your desire. I know I have gone wrong. Forgive me. Forgive me my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit and your passion that I may live an impassioned life. In Jesus' name, amen.